And you can listen along as I read. And 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to title this message today, Might These Things Be? Might These Things Be? Beautiful day outside, isn't it?
Amen.
It has been nice weather for Seattle. I think, I don't know when it's gone this long without raining. And signs and wonders in the heavens. And but it's been beautiful out there. And it's been really nice. It's nice today because our air conditioner is not working right now. It's a little cooler. So, but we are glad you're here today. I was telling the missionaries we were spending time yesterday just talking about how many people from how many countries we have. And I didn't count today. I got to figure out, let me think who is from a different country here. We've got, today we got Mexico, we got Congo, we got the Marshall Islands, we have New Zealand, we have America and Samoa, we have Haiti, what did I miss? China, Jamaica, that's eight, Tanzania, I'm not sure if they're here today, maybe Tanzania, anybody else? Mississippi, Alabama, that's a really far country, and that's right. They had to import shoes to Alabama, and all right. I can make all kinds of Alabama jokes, but there we go. All right, good. And we Arkansas, and we got all kinds of those southern those foreign countries. We need missionaries too. So. All right, 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, I'm actually going to start in chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, while he yet talked with them, behold, a messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait in the Lord? Wait for the Lord any longer? In this passage, the man says, it's a kind of a challenging, mean question to God. It says, there's this enemy here, and the messenger came and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? And then Elisha said, chapter 7, verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make known, if the Lord would make the windows of... Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit ye here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we die there. And if we sit still there, we also die. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. What an honor. Lord, it's above and beyond anything I deserve. And Lord, I just thank you that you called me, and thank you that you give me your word and give me your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that's plenty, and that's all we need. We just ask you to speak to us. Let us hear from heaven. Lord, we don't need an emotional experience. We don't need something to get us all excited or get us all crying or all sad or whatever. If that happens, that's fine. But Lord, those things go away in a few hours. What we need is a spiritual experience where the Holy Spirit touches our hearts, where our ears hear the word of God, and where we make decisions that are real. And Father, those are all works of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit and his power. And you said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And we ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to us now, and you give us what we need from the Word. And we thank you for the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story, there's a famine, and it's a bad famine in Samaria. And they're in town, and they're surrounded by Syria, and they're starving to death. They're beyond starving to death. And they're down where they've killed almost everything. And the famine's so bad in town is that they're actually sold a donkey's head for about $10,000, just to get the meat off a donkey's head. And famines and besieging cities and stuff. If you ever read of Leningrad, or it used to be St. Petersburg during I believe it was during World War II when the Germans surrounded it. And you see the pictures of people there. They didn't give in for, I think, 2 years. And the way you eventually starve. These people were starving. They literally were selling the dung from doves for a lot of money. One pint of that was $600 just for that. That's how expensive it was. And that's how hungry people were dying. And it came eventually where people were resorting to cannibalism. It was a terrible situation. And it was awful. And the king of Israel is furious, and he says, you know what? The problem here is Elisha, and I'm gonna have Elisha's head. We're gonna cut off his head. Elisha was a man of God, and he says, we're gonna kill Elisha. He's the guy. He's the problem. Let's go kill him. And they sent a messenger to Elisha and said, hey, the king's gonna cut your head off. And Elisha says, oh, who? I got God on my side. I'm not too worried, and he isn't real worried about it. And he tells the messenger, and the messenger says, why are we gonna wait on God any longer? It's God who caused this famine. And we're not gonna, and God, there's nothing's gonna happen, and there's no way this can happen. And Elisha says, guess what? Hey, before the end of the day tomorrow, you're gonna be able to buy a bunch of bushels of flour for about $130. Bushels of flour. And they're like, and the man says to him in verse two, then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, this is basically a messenger from the king, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He said, tomorrow, you're saying we're going to have so much food that it's going to be on sale. And we're going to have massive amounts of flour. How? There's a massive army surrounding this. We can't beat through the army. The army's too powerful. There's no food in town. We have a few horses left that we've kept for an emergency to take the king out of town. 4 horses in town. Everything else has been eaten. People are eating their children. You're going to have a bunch of flour here and a bunch of food and a bunch of barley, it said also, that'll be sold for cheap tomorrow by this time. And then he says a phrase. He said, if the windows of heaven were opened, this couldn't happen. Might this thing be? Even if the windows of heaven are open. And Elijah said, you know what? You doubt God. And you know what? It's going to happen by tomorrow, but you're not going to get any of it. Because you doubted God. You know, it's funny. Later in the Bible, that phrase is used. God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. The windows of heaven open and you get soaked. And can I tell you, when God opens the windows of heaven, there's no limit. There's no understanding you have to have. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to say this is. Sometimes we think we need to figure out how God's gonna do a miracle, and we got to have a plan and something worked out. And so, you know, okay, God, I'm praying you do this thing. Then you figure out, okay, if I talk to this person, I call this person, and this person gives me this, and I'll have this and this. But you know what? God is pretty capable, and He can handle His own miracles. And you don't even have to be able to understand it or even see it. The Bible says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And I can think of big things. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Might these things be? In this town, there was 4 lepers. Lepers had leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible disease. And you were cast away from society. They were set aside. They couldn't go into the regular people because it was contagious. I've been in a leper colony in the Philippines. I went to a leper colony where they it was more of a big giant camp where the lepers went, and then they treated them there. I remember I got out of the van, and a guy walked up to me, and he was the kind of like the pastor in the area there, and he walks up and he says to me, he says, see my fingers? They're all gone at the knuckles, most of them. He says, I have leprosy. Are you afraid? That's what he said to me. And he reaches out to shake my hand. I reach out and shake his hand and said, nope, I got Mark 16. God can take care of me anywhere I am. Off we went and went around, went to leper colony and saw the lepers and the white skin and the rotting flesh and all those things and saw them. It's a terrible disease. My wife wasn't so happy that I was so courageous, by the way. And she said, be courageous for yourself, but that involves us. And but no, she let me go, and she wasn't worried. But she did mention that, honey, let me know you when you need to have that much faith. And we went and we did it, and I'm fine, I think, and physically. But we went and saw that terrible disease, and I thought, man, can you imagine being a leper? And here are these lepers. They had to be cast away from society. They couldn't be with the common people. If they had to go be around people and people were coming towards them who didn't have leprosy, they had to cover their mouth and they had to scream, leper unclean, leper unclean. And they had to do that so everybody knew a leper was coming. Their lives are miserable. And they're just waiting to die. That's all they were doing. It rots your flesh off and everything. Terrible disease. There's four lepers in the gate. They couldn't come in. The enemy didn't really want to kill them yet because who wants to get your sword with leprosy on it? And so they were just sitting in the gate. They couldn't come in. They couldn't go out. They were just sitting there. And finally, the lepers got tired of this. And so they said, you know what? Well, there's no food for us inside. And you know what? We're going to die anyway of starvation. We haven't eaten forever. Let's go out to Syrians and see if they'll give us some of their food because they're living it up out there. They got all kinds of food. They got wealth. They're wealthy people. They've got all kinds of jewels and food and stuff like that. And the worst that can happen, guys, these four lepers said to each other, is they kill us. And you know what? We won't have hunger pains anymore. And we're dead. And we're lepers anyway. We're not going to live that long. And maybe they'll be nice to us and give us some food. We got nothing to lose. Let's go out there. So they're going to go there early the next morning. As they go out there to the camp of the Syrians, this massive camp out there, as they walk out there, they don't see anybody. No guards, nobody there. And they just see armor laying around and tents turned over and everything empty. In the middle of the night, God had sent a bunch of noise. And if you go in this chapter, it says down in verse 5, and they rose up at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria. Behold, there is no man there. And the Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and noise of horses, even the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. They hear this noise of chariots and massive armies coming against them. They just hear the noise in the middle of the night. So they wake up panicked. It sounds like there's so many and it's so powerful that God, and there was nobody, but God made the noise. And they jumped up, they didn't even grab their armor, didn't grab everything, they just ran. They thought there were so many coming, they're going to run right through the camp with their chariots. They didn't even think they'd have time to fight. They ran and were still running. And the entire camp was empty. In walked these four lepers, looking around. Where is everybody? I smell something. They walk into a tent. This tent has gold all over in there. They look around. They take the gold and hide a bunch of it, just in case. And they put a bunch of it on, and they're just hamming it up. And they go and find some food, and they start eating. They don't know what's going on, but man, they're just enjoying themselves. They're eating. They're going to town. They're taking all these jewels and gold and silver. It's just everywhere lying around. Finally, one of them says, "You know what? We're not doing right here. Our people are back there in town. They're starving to death, and we just went to old Syrian buffet, and we are stuffed." And you know what? We got to share something here. We need to share something. And so they verse 9, they said one another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the moon, morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. They go to the door and say, hey, guys, it's us lepers. What do you need? Well, we got news for you. The Syrians are all gone. Their camp is empty. And there's a bunch of food there. He says, what are you talking about? He said, let us talk to the king's men. The king's men come, talk to lepers, and they said, we don't believe it. It's a trap. As soon as we're going to go out there, we're going to kill them all. They're going to kill us all. And so they sent the four horses with somebody out there to go do a quick reconnaissance. They go out into the Syrian camp. There's nobody anywhere, and there's food everywhere. Rides back to town, says, hey, there's a bunch of food and treasure and gold out there. It's out there. Let's go get it. Let's go. Well, you don't have to talk these people into it. You haven't eaten for a long time. Free food. And off they go out of town, and they run out there and start grabbing and hoarding, and there's this massive army that had besieged a city. There is so much food there, and they bring it into town, and they eat their fill, and the people who grabbed a lot of food started selling it, because guess what? People were nervous about running out of food again, and they had a bunch of gold and silver. So they start selling the food, and well, guess what? It goes to the price that Elijah said. How did that happen? What was the plan? It was God. There's times when you don't understand, you don't know what happened, you don't know how it's going to work out. But if the windows of heaven do open, anything can happen. God can do whatever needs done. Might these things be, even if the windows of heaven were open? Absolutely. If the heavens were open, these things can happen. God can do amazing things. Just because you cannot see the means does not mean God does not have the way. Just because you cannot see the means does not mean God does not have the way. I'm going to read you a bunch of verses here about what God can do and how God is not limited and what God says about this. God says in Jeremiah chapter 32, and he says in verse 17, he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. Behold," verse 27, "I am the Lord thy God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He says, there's nothing too hard for you, God. And then God asks the questions. "I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" You don't understand. We don't understand just how big and powerful God is. We limited him to somebody bigger than us, but, you know, my problem is this big. Listen, the Bible says God saw the universe and there's 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in the galaxies and in these stars. And we're just one solar system in one galaxy. And God saw as far as we know one direction. The Hubble Space Telescope has taken pictures one direction as far as they can, and they can see 12 billion light years one direction. Okay, that, we know the universe in one direction goes 12 billion light years. Probably goes that far the other direction. It might go farther than that in that direction. It might go all four directions, north, south, all every directions, up, down. It might go every way. And you understand, we are just a solar system, not a galaxy. We're one little solar system in one small galaxy called the Milky Way, and there are thousands of our stars in the Milky Way. We are in this one small, and it's not. We're not in a big galaxy. We're not in a big galaxy. It's a small galaxy, and there are billions of those galaxies, and it goes every direction that far. And the Bible says God said, "Let there be light." Poof! Everything was there. Billions of light years every direction, and then it says God measured the universe in Isaiah, and the Bible says God measured the universe, and he measured a span. What that is between your pinky and your thumb, and God said, 12 billion light years that way. It's about that big. That's how big your God is. And then he says he took all the waters of the world, all the Pacific and Atlantic and all the oceans, and he said he put them in the palm of his hand. He said, it weighs about that much. God's really big. Is there anything too hard for God? Sometimes my wife will come and she'll bring me a jar to open. She can probably open it. She opens it when I'm not there, but you know, she likes me to make me feel like the man. And she brings me the jar. Can you imagine if she walked up and said, "Honey, can you open this jar?" "Oh, never mind, you can't do this." Can you imagine the insult of that? You know what I'd do? "Give me that stinking jar, woman." And I'm not gonna, you know why? And by the way, I've never not opened a jar she gave me. And they make some of those things hard, don't they? And you just twist it, and then you say, "My hands are greasy. Hang on a minute." And then you go and you get the towel, and you do the towel treatment. And I always give the towel. If I don't, it's open, and trust me. I mean, it's open, I'm telling you. I am not going to have a wife say, "Oh, I'm sorry, that jar whooped you, honey." That ain't happening. It ain't happening. You know how insulting that'd be if my wife just said, "You know, honey, I know the jar's tough, and you know what, there's some things you can't do," and no way. Do you know how insulting it must be to God? When you say, "This problem's just too big," and God says, "Talk to the hand," that's what he says. And that's measure the span, that's what I'm talking about. And God says, I'm a big God. I can handle that. My son, he comes back and always wants to wrestle his dad and always thinks he can beat his dad. And the last time he wrestled, he could do I don't know how many push-ups, and he works out all the time. I got this new strategy. I have to beat him within 2 minutes or I'm dead, and because I'm out of shape. But I beat him in 2 minutes every time. And we start wrestling. And last time I said, "Honey, you used a bunch of moves you never used before." I said, "That's because I need them now." And some point, I have to use every single last thing. Why? Because I don't want my son to beat me. And at that point, I'm not going to have time to wrestle him if he can ever beat me. And you know why? I don't want to sit there and get beaten by my own son in front of my family. I might have to choke him or strangle him or duct tape him or something. I don't know, but we're not going to lose. The God of the universe, sits there and says, I'm really big. And people sit there and say, oh, my problem, you don't understand how impossible this is. And God says, with me, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for me? God's telling Israel, Israel, I know you got a big problem. I know you're overwhelmed, but is anything too hard for me? And this man, this porter of the king comes in and says, if the windows of heaven are open, could this possibly be that it could be sold for this much? He says, you're not eating any of it. I don't like people who doubt me, God says. Because I'm a big God, I can do whatever needs done. There's no problem bigger than me. There's no burden bigger than me. I can do it. He says it in the New Testament a bunch of different ways, and I'll just read it to you a few verses there. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. It says, Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark chapter 9. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, he says, with men this is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Mark says, if you look into this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea and shall believe, it shall be done. Listen, all things are possible if you believe. If you believe, God can open the windows of heaven. God can pour out a blessing. God can do anything that needs to be done. We limit the Holy One of Israel, the Bible says. We limit, and God says that about himself. You've limited the Holy One of Israel. You've not allowed him to do what you wanted. You brought the jar to him and said, you know what? This is the best fruit in the world. Never mind, he can't open it. And he sits there and says, I coulda, but no, you're not going to enjoy the fruit now. You limited the Holy One of Israel. God says over and over in the Bible, my arm is not shortened that I cannot save. I didn't lose my strength. I'm not getting old, God says. I'm supernatural and eternal and omnipotent, and I don't change. I'm the Lord. I change not. I can do whatever needs done. The windows of heaven can open, and these things can be, and I am the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for me. God can open the windows of heaven for you. God can do great things. Just because you cannot see the means of God doing something does not mean God does not have a way to do it. Just because you can't open the jar does not mean God can't. God can do whatever needs done. Your job is to go find something big for him to do and jump into it and say, God, I need you to do something big here. Your job is to believe God that can do anything and go see what God can do so he gets the glory, not you. That's why you get in over your head in the Christian life. And being over your head in the Christian life is a good thing. That's what you want. You want to jump in and say, God, you just told me to jump in this thing and I can't swim. God says, good, I'm going to be your lifeguard. And show how good a lifeguard I am. But I need you to go over your head and believe me because nothing's too hard for me. Can God open the windows of heaven and do some things still? He can still do things. God has not changed. I am the Lord, I change not. But we live in a day where the devil tells a lot of people, no, God cannot, you cannot, it cannot happen. There is no way this is going to happen, and you can never be a victorious person. You can never have your life change. You can never see this miracle. You can never do these great things. And God stands back and says, wait a minute, you're going to be the one. And then, by the way, that porter got trampled in the rush to bring all the food back. And he died, and he never got to eat of it. Why? Because he said, this can't be. It can't happen. And by the way, working with people for a long time and trying to see God do great things in lives, pretty much when you aim at zero, you hit it every time. And the people who don't believe God can do it and say, this, it can never happen in my life, you're right. Yeah. Whether or not you believe God can, and whether you not believe God will, and whether or not you believe God can do great things, you're right. Because according to your faith, be it unto you. Matthew 13, 58, he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. God said, I could open the jar, but you wouldn't hand it to me. I could have done big things, but you didn't believe me. And nation changers and people who change families and people who change their area and their city and people who change lives and people who have big impacts, there are people who say, huh, this is big God, but you're big too. Let's go. Can God open the windows of heaven and do these things? Can I say this? God can open the windows of heaven and you can have your sins forgiven. There is no sinner seeking the Savior who doesn't come away with his sins forgiven. You say, my sins are too big and I've done too many bad things. I've failed too many times. I've gone against God. I've done terrible, wicked, evil things. And there's no way. Ooh. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Hey, God not only took a guy who murdered Christians, he wrote most of the New Testament with him, the Apostle Paul, and made him the greatest missionary who ever lived and the greatest church planter who ever lived, and brought the gospel to the Western world. He took a murderer and did that, and that man said, I'm the chief of sinners. Look how amazing God's grace is. But a lot of people will sit here and say, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. I even got caught for this, and I did this. And a God can never use me. No. Hey, wait a minute. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Might these things be if God opened the windows of heaven? You know, God can use you no matter what you've done. He can wash you as white as snow. He can forgive you for all your sins. He can save you. When Jesus died on the cross, the power of that blood can wash away all sin. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, these things can be, and God can save anybody. You today, if you feel guilt, you today feel shame, if you cringe when you think of the things you've done, and you say, I don't think God can love me, I don't think God can save me, can I tell you, you're looking at God as your size of God, as big as you. You might not be able to forgive yourself, but God's a lot bigger than you. God can save you and wash you as white as snow and use you and make you a mighty Christian that does great things for him. These things can be. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, the Bible says. Yea, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. God says, I can make your sin as white as the pure driven snow. And you're clean in your record. Might these things be if God could open the windows of heaven? Yes, he can save you today and have your sins forgiven. Next, I think that these windows of heaven can open and you can overcome your addictions. You can overcome your addictions. We deal with addictions all the time. We deal with it every week at the church. And by the way, most often now we're dealing with the legal addictions. And just because, and by the way, let me just say, I'm sick and tired because you got a little pain in your back. You don't need methadone and oxycodone and oxycontin for 6 months. 51% of overdoses in King County last year were prescribed medications. And I don't care if it's crack or meth or pot or alcohol or pornography or whatever your addictions are, doesn't matter. Can I tell you, you can overcome, you can quit going back to them. You do it yourself, you're going to keep doing this cycle. Keep going back. You had victory for a while. Keep going back. But you know what? Jesus Christ can set you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you say, but I don't think I can ever be that strong. No, you probably can't. But can I tell you, with God, all things are possible. The windows of heaven can be open, and God can do these things. And with men, yes, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Might these things be? The Lord can get you out of your mess. Sometimes I look at a life and sometimes somebody comes with their problems and you know what? People are awesome at making profound problems and then adding to them and then tie them in a knot and then throw them in a big ball of tar and then take them back out and throw them in cement and then let them dry. Then say, you know what? I should probably try to fix this knot in this extension cord. That's what people do. And sometimes I look at the mess we make of our lives and I see how we confound it and compound it and make it worse and worse and worse. And I look at it, I say, I know how to fix a lot of problems, but you got a mess here. I don't know how to fix your problem, but I know who does. And you know what I find? If I get them to go to church and read their Bible and pray and become a good Christian, I don't know how it happens, but their mess gets fixed. I mean, their financial mess, their emotional mess, their relationship messes. It is so confusing. It is such a mess. It is so beyond what any human can tell you what to do. Sometimes there is no answer. Just like there is no answer where they're going to get food from. But God had an answer. And when you put God first, these things can be and God can get you out of your mess. God can give you, if you're single, a husband or a wife. God can go and open the windows of heaven and bless you with that. God can fix your marriage and make you have a good, godly, happy marriage. God has that ability. You say, you don't know my wife. I know her husband, and I know there's a mess. Let me tell you, you know what? There are messes out there in relationships. I don't understand why people pick people. I hate his guts. He's a loser. Ever since I've known him, all he's done is terrible things. Then why did you have a kid with him? But there you are. And he'll never change. And she'll never change. Oh, no, no, no. You don't know how amazing God is. God can make an amazing marriage. I've seen some people I've got between them. Luckily, I'd opened a lot of jars. That's pretty strong. And I got between them. That was funny. And I've seen them ready to fight. I've seen them, I've seen the black eyes and the bruises. And I've seen God make amazing marriages out of those messes. By the way, they weren't married. They had kids. How many kids? Everything out of order. Everything wrong. The wrong priorities. A wrong start. But you know what? If God decides to work, I might not see how it can work out. And they might not see how that person can change. And they might not see how they can ever love them again. You don't have to see the way. If you get God involved and you start praying about it and you let God get involved in the situation, with God, all things are possible and God can do that thing. You can have joy and happiness in your life again. You might be empty. You might be hopeless. You might be depressed. You might be have all the symptoms of clinical depression and anxiety, and you might want to kill yourself. And we have people in this room who've been there. We had people who've come to this church in that condition. Didn't know they're going to make it through the night, and they have a hopeful life today. You know what? God is an amazing God. And you might not see, you know what? I already know I'm not going to have a good career. I already know my relationship is ruined. Listen, I know there might be shambles and ashes. I understand that. And I don't understand how a starving city who's buying donkey heads for $10,000 is going to have food in the morning for the cheap. But God can do it. And might these things be? Yes, they might be, if you believe your God. And if you begin to believe God enough, see, the problem is we stand here and over there is the victory, and we stand here and say, don't think it can happen. I'll stay here. And you stay there. Faith believes God enough to say, I don't see how this can happen, but I'm going to go there and believe that God can do something. And maybe you're the leper who says, we got nothing to lose here. Amen. But I'm going. I got nothing to lose. And obedience, it makes you obey God enough. Can I just tell you, if you'll go to church, you'll read your Bible, you'll meditate in the scriptures, you'll pray, and you'll start living a godly life, your life will turn out well. You might not be able to see the way. I might not be able to outline it. I just know it'll happen. Because all things work together for good to them who love God, to that are called according to his purpose. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The way of the righteous is a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. God blesses those who serve him, and things just work. And by the way, I've seen a bunch of people who had a perfect plan for life, not involving God. And it looked like they had life by the horns. And it didn't work out. And they found out there's bigger circumstances and bigger things in life than them, even though they knew everything, they're real smart, had a real good plan. But they didn't include God. And you know what? You can have a big, big plan and all this stuff. You'll find out that without God, things don't work like you had planned. And things fall apart. You need God. With God opening the windows of heaven, these things might be, and they will be, if you'll let God do it. That wayward child who's doing wrong, that wayward child you can't get through to, can change. Let's try that again. That wayward child, and why is it that we give up on people? I'm glad God didn't give up on me. That wayward child who's rebellious and won't listen to a word you say, thinks they know everything, and is ruining their life, they can become a mighty woman or man of God. It can happen. Try prayer. Try walking with God. Try loving him like God loves him. Try giving him the scriptures and wait for God. These things can happen. God can turn away around wayward children and make them a humble prodigal. God can do these things. That relative of yours can be saved. These things might be. That relative who seems so hard would never come to Christ, who doesn't like religion and hates God and makes fun of church and makes fun of you for serving God, they can be saved. The Apostle Paul did it. Hey, a lot of people who mocked God ended up being the best Christians in the end. open door can change the world. This church can see the power of God and see miracles come and see this area become the Bible Belt and plant churches and reach the entire world. Might these things be? With a big God, we sure can. We don't need to limit ourselves to hope when we can reach Des Moines or Kent or SeaTac or Burien or Auburn or Federal Way. That's good. That's a start. But you know, we got our eyes set on something bigger than that. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, we want to change the world. And God can use us to do big things. We saw it a little bit in February where I was able to go to a pastor's conference and train 150 pastors in Haiti. You know what? We're just starting, folks. We believe God can do big things. I don't think that we're just trying to hang on until Jesus comes. I believe we need to go forth doing mighty things for God and believing that God can change the world and believe God can change America and we can have revival in America and do great things. It's time some Christians believe God and don't just limit the Holy One of Israel and say these things cannot be. I believe America can have revival. I believe this nation can be changed and come back to God. If somebody believed God enough to really get in their face and pray. In 1806, there was a group of men at Williams College. There was five men in Williamsport, Massachusetts. These five men, Samuel Mills, James Richard, Francis Robbins, Harvey Loomis, and Brian Greene, began to get a burden for the world. They began to get a burden that the world wasn't being reached with the gospel. And they began to pray, and they would go outside, and they'd go out in the forest. They felt like they couldn't pray in the college well. Their ideas were so crazy and so radical because there was not a single missionary in America sent out of America. And they began to get burdened that the world wasn't getting reached. And they would read about the darkness of Africa and the darkness of the East. And they would read about the darkness of the South and in South America. And they'd say these countries need reached. And somebody's got to reach them. And we don't have a single person in all of America. We don't even have a mission board in America. No one has ever left America to be a missionary. They weren't pastors. They weren't preachers. They weren't anything. They were just five men in college and began to get burdened. They would go out and walk out in nature, and they'd go get underneath a tree and pray. And one night, as they were going, the weather changed. It began pouring down rain, and the only thing they could see was a haystack. These five men ran and dove into the haystack, got to the bottom of the haystack, and just decided to pray all night for God to start reaching the heathen. No plan. No means, no money, no mission board, no church to send them, just five college students. In that haystack prayer meeting in 1806, at the end of the prayer meeting, one of the men, Samuel Mills, got up and he called out at the end of the prayer. He says, "We can and we will." Those were his words. We can reach the world and we will reach the world. They began to pray every night and study these countries and study what their cultures were and how they could go to them and how they could reach them. Still, no mission board, no churches send them. Nobody had ever been sent out of America ever. They went to another college and they found there was a group of three other men who were doing the exact same thing. They found these three men at another college and at Andover Theological Seminary. And these men were named Samuel Knott, Samuel Newell, and Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson said, "I'm going." And they said, "Great, let's go. How do we get there?" He said, "I don't know, we got to go." They went to some churches and said, "We've got to send missionaries out of America." And they said, "We don't have a missions board. We don't have any way to send them. We don't have any means to get them out of America. We don't have any money. We don't have anything." They said, "God has called us. We're going. Can you help us?" So finally, several of the churches got together and they started a mission board with no money, no means, no knowledge of how to get into the foreign field. And they said, "Okay, we will now make a mission board. We'll take that step. Now we have the mission board." And they got it. The mission board is called the General Association of Congregational Churches of Massachusetts. They had no money. They said, "Okay, guys, we got a mission board. How are you going to get to wherever you want to go?" They said, "We want to go to India." Said, "You know how much it costs to get to India?" Folks, there wasn't airlines then. And there wasn't credit cards then. And they didn't even know how to do it. They didn't have any training as missionaries. There was no missionaries in the entire country. They said, "All right, we're going to ordain you guys. It seems like God's called you guys." They ordained those men and said, "All right, if God wants you to go, he's going to have to send the money." All of a sudden, money started coming from all over New England for them to go. To the mission board. Mission board turned around and said, "You're not going to believe this. We have enough money to send you. go. And five of those men went to India. Adoniram Judson was kicked out of India, went to Burma, started a ministry in Burma. Did have a convert for 7 years. Started having Sunday school underneath a tree. After 7 years, he got his first convert. There wasn't a Christian in Burma. There wasn't a Christian. They did a census. There was not a Christian, one, in Burma when he landed there. They did a census 20 years later. It was 300,000. Amen. By the way, our missionary, Brother Rothwell, is a missionary in Guam. He works with a man who is from Burma who is reached directly through a straight line of preachers trained by Adoniram Judson. And his work is still going to Burma. He translated the Bible. He's got that work. His other men went to India. You know what? They had no ways, no means. They couldn't see any way it could happen. They just said, I can and I will. I believe God. Then they started going. There is no reason we can't say God can't do a big work with you. There is no reason you can't be a great Christian instead of a mediocre Christian. There is no reason you can't love that person that you hate. There is no reason that we can't go and Thailand can't become the Bible Belt of the South of Southeast Asia. There is no reason that we can't go and reach those bases. There is no reason that we can't see great changes. God is not limited in his resources. You say, I don't have any money. God has a bunch. He paves his streets with gold. It's time we believe God enough to say God can do big things. I believe God. It's time some of you stop saying, I don't believe I'm saved because I don't believe God can really forgive me. It's time for you to believe that all things are possible with God. We must and we can. And Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Might these things be if the windows of heaven were open? Yes. It's happening tomorrow. And you don't get to be a part of it because you didn't believe God. Oh, let me tell you, we got a big God. Let's let him go. Let's hand him whatever jar needs open. Say, open it. And stop insulting him and saying, this just can't happen. I can't see a way. Your ability to see does not mean that God doesn't have the ability to do it. He made the universe from nothing with words. He can handle it. Believe God that he can use you, that he can save your family, that he can make you a great Christian, you can have deliverance, that you can go and change the world. Believe that God can save you. Believe that God can. Trust him enough to obey him and watch what God does with your life. You will be shocked. With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Do not limit God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, four lepers cast out, and they're the ones that bring the news. We got as much food as we want. Oh, Lord, we live in a day where Satan's constantly telling us we can't, we're worthless, we're too weak, there's no way, it'll never happen. And people live in the no world, where with God, all things are possible. People stay in their addictions because they don't believe they can ever get free. They stay in bad relationships because they don't believe they can ever have somebody really love them. They stay in doubt because they do not know that you're the God of yea, verily. They stay not knowing they're going to heaven because they don't believe that you're powerful enough to save them and that Jesus dying on the cross is not enough. Lord, we live in a day where people don't attempt great things for God because they don't realize how great God is that they're attempting things for. We have churches that sit in mediocrity, believing that they're lucky to keep the people, not going forth to change their world because they do not focus on your power, but on their resources. I pray today, Lord, that we'd be stirred to action, to belief, and to faith. And you'd work in a powerful way, Lord, and you'd help us. We bring these things before you. We just ask you to help us, and you speak to our hearts. If somebody doesn't know you as Savior today, I pray that they would know that. And I pray today we'd have a desire and a passion, a belief, and some callings would come upon us to do great things for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask today, Christian, you're saved. You know you're saved today, and God's spoken to you. But so has the devil. And the devil said, you can't, you can't, you can't. But you're not going to limit God today. With God, all things are possible. Maybe it was in your life and your morality. Maybe you're giving up on your marriage. Maybe you're giving up to just fall into your failures of addiction. Maybe you're going and going to rejoice. You can have hope again. Maybe today God has said, no, you've been lied to by the devil. You've been lied to by some bad people. You can have a wonderful godly life. I'm able. With me, it's possible. Could be a marriage restored. Could be a calling of God upon you to do great things. It could be your child or your spouse being saved. But today you'd say, you know what? Might these things be? You know what? God can. I'm no longer going to limit God. God's speaking to me. We pray for me, Pastor, that God's speaking.